Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, I hope that in the stillness we've been able to still our hearts and our minds and prepare our hearts to open to the message that you have for us this morning. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you, not so much preach at you, but just share with you my personal kind of how God is leading in my life right now. Last week, you guys remember we shared about God leading me to discover my identity in Him. And what, you know, that sounds really good. That's I want to know my identity in Christ. I want to know who God says I am. But you know, there's a difference between knowing who God says you are and believing who God says you are, feeling in your heart. You can know things with your mind and you can know things with your heart. And the difference between the mind and the heart is you can convince your mind of something because it's logical. The mind is something that you can gather evidence here or there. If you read enough scripture, if you claim enough scripture, you can believe in your mind, but your heart's a little different. The heart is our direct communication with God. The heart has to be open to receive from God, and the heart has to be open to for us to really see how we really feel about God, how we really feel about ourselves. And our identities is who God says we are. But our hearts have to be open to God in all areas to really let Him penetrate our lives. Now, theologically, proclaiming ourselves as perfect and as saints like we did last week, that works theologically, doesn't it? You know, I know that it was met with some, you know, even on the mental basis, like, well, I don't think of myself as perfect. Well, no, you shouldn't, because you're not. God is the one who thinks of you as perfect, but you need to understand that that's how He sees you, and He wants you to live in that freedom. So theologically, repeating those words and claiming those scriptures, it's good, but that doesn't get it into your heart. That can get it into your mind, but it doesn't necessarily get it into your heart. Truthfully, if we look down deep inside, even those who claim they're perfect really don't believe they are. And that's why we claim it so venomously, almost. Like, we claim it and don't let anybody else tell you anything. You have to claim it. You have to claim it. You have to claim it. Well, it's after a while, it gets really hard to claim something that you just don't really believe. How come my heart struggles to believe some of His words? This week, God called me to stillness. And that's kind of why we played the last song. It's in the stillness and the quietness. That's where we find God. That's where we find Jesus. And He called me to stillness, and I was thinking, okay, that's fine. I do that every week, God. Sure, I'm still all the time. And He said to me, no, Nathan, I want you to be still to the point that you can know that I am God. You have to be still and know that I am God. And I said, okay. As soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. If you've read the psalm, it talks about all the dastardly things that can happen to the world, but yet as Christians, we can still be still and know that our Father has us in our hands, no matter what we see happening around us. Basically, no matter what our senses are telling us is going on, in our hearts, we know that God has us in His hands when it doesn't even look like it. Thought of that psalm, and I thought of Elijah in the cave, you know, where after he had done all the showdown on Mount Carmel, and he runs and he's in the cave and he's waiting for God, and all the chaos that happens outside, you know, the earthquake and the storms, and then in the stillness, God spoke to Elijah. And then I thought of the disciples after the storm in the boat with Jesus, and I thought, you know, that if there was ever a place to be to know, to be still and know that Jesus was God, that would be the place, right? Because you not only did you experience it, but your senses experienced it. And then I thought of Joseph and his years in prison. And I thought about, you know, he went from a boy who was a braggart, exclaiming to his brothers, you're going to bow down to me, and ends up in prison. And I think about that time when he was in prison, the stillness that must have been in there those nights, wondering questions. After a while, I'm sure it was hard for Joseph to claim those dreams. But in the stillness is when God could speak to him. And he was preparing him there in that prison. And 20 years later, what God told him came true. God said to me, Nathan, you will find who I really am when you are still long enough for the chaos that you create around you to settle. And I thought, you know, that's, what are you talking about, chaos that I create? And of course I know what he's talking about. Hello, I created it. The truth about me is that I love chaos. I love it because it keeps me from seeing my truths. It keeps me from feeling how I really feel about myself in my heart. It keeps me distracted from that. Chaos is something that as humans we do because we don't want to feel what's inside of us. Chaos enables me to distract myself. So instead of living with an open heart, I can shut it down, as I say, and when I want to, and let my mind take over. Have you ever shut your heart down and then started thinking with your mind instead? You'll have a completely different reaction when you think with your heart than with your mind sometimes. It doesn't really work, but basically what it is when something hits your heart in a soft spot by something someone else says or something you witness or somebody else talks about pain, what you do is you immediately shut your heart down in that area and you go to claiming all the things that you've learned about God and feeling your heart. Basically, what we did last week was I pulled out my handy-dandy cheat sheet about my identity in Christ, and when I don't feel it, then I go to claiming. John 1:12, I am God's child. John 15:15, I am Christ's friend. Romans 5:1, I have been justified. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am united with the Lord and I am one in spirit with Him. Whether my heart believes it or not. And I speak it with my mouth, and what I do is I try to convince myself that if I speak those words long enough, then my brain will overpower my heart. But it doesn't work. It really doesn't work. So, you know, and I know a lot of people do this because I see it. Of course. I know exactly what it is because I do it. But if you start to become emotional and then you, I'm not going to go there, and you start thinking with your mind, you just shut your heart down. That's what I do when something gets too personal. Now, I can let God into certain areas of my life completely. Like here at church, I know I can't do this job without Him. So I have to be completely open to Him. And because I feel the Holy Spirit working in me and leading me, I thought it was in all areas of my life. But it turns out it's not true. When I get into my heart, when I go back home, I don't trust God as much there because of some of the things in my past that were in my heart. And I didn't even realize it because I've been playing this mind game so long that I didn't even know what was in my heart. And God said, Nathan, we got to find that stuff out, so you're going to have to be still. You're going to have to be still long enough for everything to settle so that you can feel clearly. I kept saying to God, I'm still. And He says, it's not long enough. Not been long enough. Your chaos is not settled. It's like jumping into a pool. You jump into the pool, and after you jump into the water, you can be still for a certain amount of time before the chaos around you settles, right? And I know exactly how long that amount of time is before I need to start doing something else to stir the waters back up a little bit. So it appears that I'm being still, but the chaos around me has not settled. It's like jumping into a mud puddle. And all the mud comes up, and yeah, the water settles, and it appears calm, but yet there's all this chaos in there, and you can't see. And what happens when the water calms? You see your reflection. When the water calms, you actually see your true reflection, not a distortion, not the ripples, but you actually see the truth. I was never waiting long enough to let the water calm. As soon as my reflection would begin to come into focus, I was done being still. Even if it was up, I'm going to go read my Bible now, or I'm going to read a book, or I'm going to go do this, or here's a project, or my mind starts going again. Even if it was just enough to keep the waters moving, so I could keep myself in my little mind world, how I thought, but ignore how I felt. What's so dangerous about this reflection? What's so dangerous about letting the waters become calm and and all the debris in there and the chaos settle? Why is it so dangerous? Why do we run from it? Why do we get so busy? Why do we go home and we relax with the TV instead of relaxing in silence? Did you know that if you are in stillness long enough, your mind will stop wandering? It will. Trust me. But you have to be still long enough. That's why open worship here in church is like a minute compared to the hour of stillness that we should be doing every day. This isn't enough time to really become still, especially if you didn't come to church ready to worship. Your mind is still going. You're thinking about, I know I'm thinking about the service. I'm thinking about what's next. I'm thinking about this and that. I'm trying to be still, but my mind won't be still. Well, what's so dangerous about this reflection? It's because it's the truth. And I was pretty scared of the truth. What happens is the truth can destroy you, but it's supposed to. What happens when you ask Jesus into your heart? You're supposed to become a new creation, right? You're not supposed to be you anymore. You're supposed to let God take over and bring out all that darkness, all the stuff that you're harboring in there. But we become comfortable with our darkness, and we put on the mask and we put on the cape and the facade, and we come to church or we go out to work and in our lives, and pretty soon we start to believe that's who we really are, and we stop taking it off when we get home. We put on our spiritual makeup and we never take it back off. When I see my true reflection in the stillness, the facade that I have made myself to believe becomes shattered. And I have to face what's really inside of me. In this reflection, this clear reflection of myself, lies my true feelings of worth. What would happen if you really sought your true feelings of worth? How you really feel about yourself? In that reflection lies all the pain that I have stuffed away from even my childhood. And most importantly, when I become real in my heart, I see how I really feel about God. And I see the walls that are built up that keep Him from working in my life, that keep Him from being able to lead me. Like I said, God calls to me all the time. The problem in the relationship is not God. It's me. It's me. This reflection is hard to look at because most likely if you don't do it on a regular basis, it's not going to make you feel very good. You're going to have questions that come up about why would a God who did this let this happen to me? Or why wasn't I good enough to have you put me in a home that did this? Or why did this person do this to me? Or where were you in this crisis of my life? Those questions come up, but if you never bring up those questions, you will never get the answers. God says He's our gentle shepherd. How many of you believe that? You can't truly believe that until you lay your questions before Him. You can't really believe that He's your gentle shepherd until you're raw and open and you allow Him to hold you in His arms when you're afraid that you'll be crushed. The reason God wanted me to be still this week is because He wanted me to know what was exactly in my heart. Not what I thought was in my heart. He wants me to know who He is. He doesn't want me to see that rippled, that poor, distorted reflection of who He is anymore. He's tired of it. Because you know, who do kids learn about God from? Their parents. Their church. People. And guess what? People are not really a good reflection of God, are they? So God says, it's time to get rid of that distorted image. Let's let it still so that we can see who you really think I am, so that we can start answering the questions and start breaking through the lies, because I am truth. And I am love, and I am your gentle shepherd. I am your Father who holds you, who designed you, and has this plan laid out before you. But Nathan, your heart is not open to me yet. And it wasn't until I was in the stillness that I understood that there's a lot of questions in there. A lot of stuff that I worked hard to make myself believe weren't there, or tell myself the answers. God wants to see who He really is, not the poor reflection our friends or family gave us, or the God that we created Him to be because of our life experiences, but the truth. He is the God of love, of healing, and forgiveness. Only in the stillness do we really see the truth. No distractions, no chaos, no distorted images, just the truth of who God is and the truth of how you really feel about God. Now, I'm not going to go into details or anything, but like always, I'm here to talk. I'm here to, if you want to share with me, if you want to ask questions, I'm completely open to that. But honestly, be still. If you go home and you can't be in your house without the TV or the radio on, if you can't go sit in a silent room without distractions, and if you can't sit long enough to let everything be calm, there's your sign. You got some stuff in your heart that needs worked out. There's your sign. It was my sign because I had myself so believing in my mind that that stuff wasn't in there, that no matter what people said to me, people would say, Nathan, you got to look at yourself. And I say, I looked, there's nothing in there. Got to learn to look at the signs. Say, you know what, even if I don't feel it, there's something in there. I want to know who I am in Christ, and that means being still long enough to let God show me who He really is and who I really am. Get through those lies. Get into a real relationship with God. Get into a healthy relationship with God where He can build you and build your marriage and build your relationships, build you as a parent and as a grandparent, build you as a member of the congregation, build you as a member of the body to be the way that He designed you to be. I encourage you to seek stillness this week. Don't let your busyness be an excuse, because we all know that we love that excuse. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we're not perfect. We know that we're human, and we know that we hurt. We know that there's not always things that we understand, and when we don't understand, sometimes we put them away and just say, well, I want to trust You, instead of taking them to You and letting You answer them for us. We know that our image of You can be so distorted that we really have no idea who You are, but we're serving this God of our parents or God of our friends or this God who we need to let You tell us who You are. We need to let You tell us who we are in You. I pray that in the stillness, we know that You're waiting there for us. I pray that You would give every one of us the courage to open our heart, to stay there long enough to face why we're fighting to keep our hearts closed, why we're fighting to keep in there what's in there because of what it could do when it comes out, and just to trust You that You are our gentle shepherd, that what You say is true. But we want to have a relationship where we don't just believe in our minds, but we believe in our hearts of who You are and who You have made us to be and how You see us. Bless us and keep us as we go this week, Father God. Help us to see the signs in our lives of where we need You. Amen.